we're just so glad that you've been part of our body and part of our church, and we want to continue to be part of that as well. So what we're going to do, we're just going to take a moment, we're going to call the names, and want you guys to come on up, and then we're going to take a moment to just pray over you and just acknowledge what God's doing in your life. So let me begin. First, we're going to call Rexanne Anderson. All right. As most of us know her as, just Rex, okay? So
Rex.
So she's like one of those one-name people to most of us around here, and so we're glad to have her. She's a big part of our band up here, and she's graduated from Anderson Academy, which means she's homeschooled because her last name is Anderson, and so we're excited about that. And so I said, what are you going to do now? And, I was expecting this long thing about where she's going next to college, and she said, I'm going to work, save some money, and go travel. I said, bless your heart. Amen. I'm like, that is so awesome. So thank you for all you've done and that you've served us here as well. And we look forward to continuing that. The next one, Jackson Allen. Jackson graduated from Greystone. And so he is going to be attending Campbell University with their business school. He's earned a scholarship there, and so we're excited about that and seeing what God does next in your life. And so thank you for being part of us here. And so next we've got high schoolers. I wanted to finish out one we don't have here, Cameron Vick. Cameron is going to be, he's graduating from North Stanley. He's going to be attending Greensboro College on a baseball scholarship, and he's actually playing in a league at the beach right now to prepare for that. And so his mom and dad are down there with him. And so we do want to recognize Cameron Vick for his accomplishment. So let's give him a round of applause. All right, so next we move to our next level degrees. Madison Palmer graduated from Stanley Community College in their nursing program. And check this out. She just got her results back. She is officially an RN now. So. Jennifer Moore. Jennifer is, I kind of feel like I'm one of these, Jennifer is a Scorpio, and I feel like I'm on the dating game here.
Long walk.
Jennifer is, she is a teacher here at East Albemarle Elementary, but she graduated with her master's in elementary education from Gardner-Webb. So I think that means she's going to teach. So we kind of assume that. Terry Myers. Terry is receiving his MBA from American Military University. And he's accomplished most of that online, so he's been able to be here with us and be able to do that. So congratulations, and we look forward to seeing what you're going to do with that. We can always use another MBA around here. So we'll talk about that in the offering time later. All right, so next is Melissa Stallings. Melissa received her bachelor's in physical education and exercise and sports science. I should be able to say it. I got the same degree, so I should be able to tell it, but congratulations. I went to her and I said, hey, I want to make sure I got it right. Is it the same? And so you should know I would mess it up after I've made sure I got it right. But she got that from UNCW, so congratulations, and we look forward to hearing what God does next with you. Is Destiny Garner here? I didn't see her this morning, but I know she was going to try to be here. Destiny has been attending here, and she received her degree from Western Carolina University, and I believe it's in social work, and because she's going to be working at Moore County in their adoption social work department, and so she'll be working with adoptions and that sort of thing, and so we want to celebrate her as well. All right, did I miss anybody? Anybody? All right, cool.
Yeah. Hannah.
Oh, there she is, Hannah. She is on my list.
She's one of them. I can't let her
She really
list.
Wanted me to miss her, I promise you. She was. That's what you were praying, and Gabe broke it. He messed you up. Hannah Bundy.
That's what I'm here for. Sorry.
Hannah received her two-year degree from Stanley Community College, an associate in arts, and she wants to continue on to a four-year school now hopefully local, so she doesn't have to move away. But anyway, we'll pray about that, huh? Okay, cool. UNCG is where I got my degree, my sports and science degree. Yeah. So that's cool. So we want to celebrate them. Thank you guys so much for your accomplishments. And so we want to ask Pastor Gabe if he would pray over you guys, and then you can go back and have a seat, and we'll worship together.
All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to recognize these graduates, and thank you for the abilities and talents that you give each one of us. God, we know that we are made in your image. You designed each one of us specifically for a purpose. So thank you that you've given us the ability to learn and to gain knowledge to carry out your purpose, God. So I pray for each of these graduates. They begin a new chapter of their lives. They go on to what you have for them, God. They seek you in decisions that they make for what location they'll be at, for jobs they take, for every situation, God. We just pray that you are at the forefront of their mind and the decisions that are made, God, because we know that's the only way that your purpose can be carried out in our lives fully is if you are our focus. So, God, we just pray that for these graduates. Thank you for them. Thank you for allowing them to be here at URE Community and for allowing for us to be part of their lives here. So, God, we just look to you for great things to happen in the future from these graduates and for what you have for them. It's all for your glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So it's good to have you guys with us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to take moments like that just to celebrate the things that God's doing in our church body and just in our community. And these guys and gals have been leaders, and so we're just thankful for them and for what they're doing, and we look forward to hearing just great things that God continues to do. But today we're going to continue on in our series called Prayer. And this has been a neat series. I don't know about you, but it's allowed me to just dig down deeper into where God has me and the things that that he wants to teach me about my communication with him. Because in the end, that's the simplicity of prayer, is that it's communicating with God. And communicating with God, when we talk about communication, we need to understand that it is a two-way deal. Too often we want communication to be one way. We want to communicate, but we don't necessarily want to be communicated back with. But God wants that with us. He wants us to talk to him, and he wants to be able to talk to us. And we talked about in the first week, many of us don't do it. One of the big reasons is we don't know how. And so today I want us to talk about how to pray and how to be able to have that communication, because it's we know that it's arguably the most powerful weapon that we have against the things that come against us and the way the world works and all the things that would want to get us off track. And so we want to be able to have this weapon, this tool at our ready anytime. And so today we're going to dig into how to be able to have that. And my prayer is that when we leave today, not only do we know more about prayer, but that we have this desire to make it part of who we are. This insatiable desire to want to have this communication, this open communication with God. And so today let's begin by looking at really what the disciples kind of set up for us, because they had a desire to have that too. In fact, in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, Jesus prayed everywhere he went and all of this, but he had a certain place. And you and I need to make sure that we have a certain place. You know, we can pray anywhere we go at any time, any point, but I think it's important to have a place that we can regularly go to be able to just have quiet and to have this time to just be able to speak and hear at the same time. One of my favorite places that I love to go pray is at the top of Mara Mountain. I love to go up there in the middle of the day and just be able to grab a picnic table and hang out and just be able to talk and hear. And so wherever you find a place, you need to find a place like Jesus did. But when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now I want you to say this question or this statement with me. All right, ready? Let's say what the disciples said. Lord, teach us to pray. That needs to be our desire. We need to say that out loud and mean it and want to understand it and hear it. The disciples had been hanging out with Jesus. They had seen him do all kinds of things. They had seen him spit in the dirt, take it, mush it together, and rub it on dude's eyes and bring their sight back. That's a pretty impressive thing, right? They had seen him do that. They had seen him in a crowd of people take two fish, five loaves of bread, break it apart, and feed thousands of people. That's a pretty good party trick, y'all. That's a pretty good deal, right? If you see that happen, that little bit be broken in and have all those people fed and then have leftovers, that's a pretty impressive thing. They had seen him do all sorts of things, but yet the one thing they asked him to teach them how to do was pray. They didn't say, hey, show me that little spit in the dirt thing. No, they didn't say that. They didn't say, show me how to just break that just right to make it last. They said, teach us how to pray. It should be a desire for us, just like it was for the disciples, because it's a powerful thing, and it's there for us. It's given to us to be able to use, and so we need to be able to see it just like they saw it. It should be a hunger deep inside of us to have this communication with God. And so today I want us to spend some time pulling apart how Jesus taught them to pray, because it's pretty interesting that it's recorded in the scriptures exactly how Jesus broke it down for us. And so in a moment, I want us to read it together. But first, I wanted to get a little help in communicating it to you. So I asked some friends to help.
Hey, can you do something for Daddy? Can you do the Lord's Prayer?
No.
Natalie will try it for Daddy. Okay? Wait. Say it really loud, okay?
Oh, Father.
And lead us not.
And lead us not into temptation. Amen.
No, but the. Hey, girls, come here. Okay, can you both do it for Daddy? Do it together. Wait. Scoot together. All right, and do it for Daddy. Ready? Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give.
So we don't openly practice speaking in tongues here, but I think it's okay. So anyway, those are some cute girls. I don't know who they are, but man, they're cute, aren't they? And so I thought they could communicate this to us in a way that should really make us, because I mean, really, how many of us can really say the Lord's Prayer? I think if most of us, if we grew up in church, we might be able to, but oftentimes that's one of those things that we struggle with. But it's how Jesus lays out for us to pray. It says this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is one of the most powerful things that we can know. And so today I want us to drill down into the Lord's Prayer, pull it apart, and begin to see some key things that we need to seek out when we pray. If we're going to pray the way that Jesus wants us to, we need to understand this and see the principles that come out of it. So here's five things to seek in prayer. Number one, we need to seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. We need to seek His presence with a worshipful heart. Now, if you have a program you can take notes on, you may want to write that down. You can look on YouVersion Live and pull that up. If you don't know how to do that, look on your program. There's instructions. But you can follow right along here with us. Seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. Matthew 6, verse 9 says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In the original writing of this, in the Greek language, the hallowed was the word hagiazo. Hagiazo is to be set apart, to make holy, to consecrate and to make sure that God is held holy. And so we need to understand that when we pray, we need to acknowledge God for who He really is. See, too often what we try to do is we kind of try to dumb God down. And we try to dumb Him down to just our buddy, you know, our hangout partner. And that, while that's kind of a cool way to think of Him and to understand that He does want a relationship with us, and He, you know, the scriptures say that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and it points to Jesus being our friend, the reality is that He's still God. He's still the one who is above all. He's the one who created all, and He's above all. And so we need to make sure that we keep this relationship open with Him, that we make sure that we understand that He wants that relationship, but yet we can't make Him just another figure and just another image within our lives. He needs to be held holy. He needs to be set apart. We need to acknowledge Him for who He is. And so we need to come with a worshipful heart. That's why one of the key words that we talk about at URA Community Church is worship. Worship is when we acknowledge who God is. It's demonstrating love to Him because He is holy and He loves us and wants a relationship with us, but yet He went to the utter extremes to have it by giving His Son Jesus on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to not just leave Him dead, but to raise Him again so that we could have a forgiven, eternal relationship with Him. He's holy, and He deserves to be held in that place. We need to make sure that we keep that relationship. So often, we forget. We get busy in the day-to-day things of life. We get wrapped up in our own situations. We get work going on, and we got this thing going on over here and this thing going on over there. And before you know it, we get spread out so thin that we totally forget who's got all the plates spinning. And we need to come back to a place of acknowledging Him and seeking Him with a worshipful heart. Acknowledging Him as God, as the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, with the most incredible love that He has. Now, for some of us in the room, maybe that's like, wow. You're just like blown away by the fact that He is God and wants a relationship with you. And maybe some of us are here today and we're just like, you know, whatever. This whole God thing, I'm not sure I get it. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that might be your acknowledgement of where you are. But let me just tell you that the scriptures are true. And they have demonstrated their truth and the reality of being able to trust it over and over and over again. He is God. And we need to make sure that He's holy, and we need to worship Him because He is worthy of it. The second thing we need to seek in prayer is to seek God's priorities over our own. We need to seek His priorities over our own. And let me just tell you, I've said it before, but I'm the chief among us when it comes to selfishness. You know, I can be very selfish, put me before everything else. If I'm left to my own and just in my own thoughts, you know, I think of Ron first, you know, and I think if we're honest in the room, probably that's where we all find ourselves at times, with our own wants and our own needs and our own priorities at the top of the list. But Jesus said that we should pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to be able to pray and acknowledge Him, who He is, set Him apart, but then also acknowledge that His priorities need to be first in our lives. I think it's a great time to talk about that as we celebrate graduates. And now, you know, there's all kinds of plans being made, but the reality is we need to seek out His priorities and seek out His ways first to make sure that we put ourselves exactly where He wants us to be. We need to seek that out. I heard a story this week from a pastor, and he was talking about his cousin Johnny. And cousin Johnny was one of those cousins like most of us have. Maybe some of you are cousin Johnny, because he's the one that's always in trouble. You know, the one that always it just seeks him out. It doesn't matter what he does. You know, he can just be in the crowd, and the crowd's all doing it, and he's just hanging out, and he'll be the one that gets caught and put in jail. You know, that guy, that cousin Johnny. Well, his cousin Johnny had come to spend the night with him. And sure enough, just as Johnny is doing his thing, he gets in trouble. And so the pastor's mom says, hey, listen, and of course, look, the pastor is little at this point. He's not living at home with mom still, but hopefully you got that part. But the reality is his cousin comes over, spends the night with him, and Johnny gets in trouble. So mom, to punish Johnny, says, after dinner, you're going straight to bed. So she sends Johnny off to bed, and the pastor, you know, goes with him. And Johnny gets down to say his prayers beside the bed, and the old prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God, if I don't live to wake, please save me some of that chocolate cake. You know, that's how some of us pray. We pray that we'll get our chocolate cake. You know, we have chocolate cake prayers. We're praying, God, if I don't make it, you know, whatever, but whatever happens, I want my way. You know, we want our cake and eat it too. We want things to be our way, and we want to be able to get the blessings out of it, but we don't want to have to put in all sometimes the effort. We don't want to have to go through anything else. We just want our way. We pray that chocolate cake prayer all the time because we're looking for things to be done our way. But when we recognize who God is and when we see the way Jesus taught us to pray, it's that we put God's priorities before our priorities. That we recognize that our cake, you know, that chocolate cake we want may not be the best thing for us. So we don't need to pray that prayer. We need to pray that God's will be done in our lives the way that He's ordained it to be and the way that He set it up to be long before we were ever here in person. Long before we were even in our mother's womb, the Bible says He knew us. And He's got a plan and a purpose, and we need to pray that that comes true and comes through in our lives, because that's going to be the situation that's going to be best for us. See, too often I think we treat God like some cosmic vending machine that we can walk up to and we can drop our little prayer in, and down at the bottom will come out exactly what we want. You know what happens sometimes with vending machines? We walk up with our little wrinkly dollar and we put it in and it spits it back out at us. Listen, some of us are praying those wrinkled up dollar bill prayers and God's just spitting them back out, because the reality is they're not what's best for us. They're not what we need. We need to be able to walk up there and pray, not, God, do what I want, but God, I want to do what you want. Because that's the place that we're going to be the happiest. That's the place that we're going to experience the most joy, is when we're following Him, regardless of how circumstances may be. We'll be at the place that He wants us to be, and we'll be able to see the most benefit come in our lives and in the kingdom of God because we're following Him. So we need to be able to seek His priorities, His plans, over ours. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We need to seek out what He wants for us. When we understand that we go look for His kingdom and His righteousness in our lives, then all the things that He wants for us are going to come. All the wants that we think we need, you know, they will quickly change. Sometimes we realize that the things we think we need, they become really something that doesn't fit into our lives anymore because they're not part of His plan. We need to understand that His priorities are most important. The third thing we need to seek in prayer is we need to seek God's provision for our daily needs. To seek God's provision for our daily needs. Matthew 6:11 says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We need to understand that we need today what we need today. You know, when I was growing up, we did the typical church thing. We went to Sunday school, then we went to church, and we went home to grandma's and had dinner. You know, Sunday dinner. It was always fried chicken and something else. You know, it's that typical Southern, you know, after church meal. And we grew up every, you know, Sunday. That was the routine. Sunday school, Sunday church, and eating at grandma's. And so I grew up that way, but when I graduated high school, I decided, you know, I was going to do my own thing, moved away to Greensboro, like really far, I guess. But anyway, spent a year in Banner Elk, then ended up in Greensboro. And so I found out there that, you know, church wasn't a priority to me. And I was just doing my thing. But eventually God led me back into church and was able to become part of a really cool church there and a cool college-age career-type group. And we began to sing these songs that were so much different than what I had grown up with. You know, I grew up with the traditional hymns and all of that stuff. You know, the first, second, and the fourth verse all the time. You know, I don't know why people even wrote the third verse of hymns. But anyway, you know, we probably ought to check them out. They probably are the most powerful, you know. I don't know. But the reality is that's how we grew up. But we started singing these songs that were just so cool. And one of those songs that stuck out in my head and I was reminded of it this week was that song, Jehovah Jireh. And it kind of goes like this. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh. Anybody know that song? Yeah, so we got the Pentecostals in the back raising their hands. I see it. I see that. No, seriously. This is one of those songs that just, you know, and it's got this kind of Middle Eastern vibe to it, and it's kind of cool, but you could, you know, it didn't matter how you sang the first, as long as you went, for me, you know, you had to clap as hard as you could. So, but this song, you know, it was one of those that just stood out to me as I grew up because I began to, you know, first I didn't get the whole Jehovah Jireh thing. I thought that was just some funky nickname for God. But then I began to understand it. But then I began to understand what grace was. And then I began to understand what sufficient grace was. And then this song became so powerful to me that God is a provider. He is the provider. He's the provider of everything that we need. When we realize most of all our need, our greatest need is for grace, to be forgiven of our sins, to have a restored relationship with God, that's the greatest need that we have. And when we realize that, we can also know that God is the one who provides that grace. But Jehovah Jireh means that he's the provider. He's the one where the things that we truly need in our lives come from. And that when we look at things, that he is the one that provides it. Now, I know what you're thinking. God didn't provide things. Walmart does. That's where I go. You know, all Walmart really does is provide some really cool pictures of stupid people, right? You know, I mean, just to be honest. I was going to put some up on the screen, but nah, it'd be too big a distraction. But the reality is Walmart's not the provider. You know, your workplace isn't your provider. None of those things are what really give us the things that we need. God is who provides. He gives you skill. He gives you ability. He provides opportunities. He's the one who opens doors for us to be able to experience the things that we are to experience in life. He is the true provider. Everything that we have comes because he gives gifts. He gives them to us. And he gives them to us. And so what happens is often, though, we get focused off onto the gift and not the giver. And so our emphasis is on those things and not on the one that it comes from. But here's what Philippians 4:19 says. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That he is the provider. And he provides those riches, he provides those things to us because of who he is and because of his great love for us. He does it through his son Jesus, providing those riches. Now, I'm not talking about your big bank account. Obviously, we're talking about the reality of the richness of a relationship with this God who loves you so much. That's the riches that we look to. Some of us today have overlooked God as our provider. We've looked beyond him to the things that we can put our hands on, what we can touch and feel to be our provider. So let's just be honest in the room that some of us, our marriages are a wreck. Some of us, our relationships with our kids, they're in a bad spot. For some of us, our finances are struggling. We don't know how we're going to do what we need to do next. For some of us, it's the relationship we have at work. For some of us, it's just being able to have the relationship that we hear about every Sunday. You're just struggling for those kind of relationships, this ability to trust and have faith in God. But listen, God is the provider, and he's the one we need to look to. Don't look to the therapist. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not going to be the provider. Don't look to that loan company. They may help you for a little while, but the reality is that's not the provider. Our provider needs to be God, and we need to focus on him. Let all those things filter out through him, but the reality is our first place to look for our provision must be the provider, and that's God. Number four, we need to seek God's pardon for our sin. We need to seek God's pardon for our sin. Matthew 6:12 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." As we also have forgiven our debtors. See, this is the part where we come to God and we ask forgiveness of our sin. This is where we come to ask God to forgive us for falling short of the standard that's been set by his word. By the standard that's been set that puts us in a right relationship with him. This is the thing where we come and where we mess up and we make mistakes that break that fellowship. And it's where we come and we ask him to forgive us of our sin. For some of us, listen, that's maybe maybe that's for you, that's a once a month deal. You know, you're so good, you know, that you don't have to do it as often as some people. For me, it's like a 24/7 kind of thing. You know, I got to say it like every couple of minutes because we just mess up. We make mistakes. For those of us here that only have to do it once in a while, let me just tell you, you're fooling yourself, all right? So you need to stop and take a little break and do that quite a little bit more often, because we all, how much is all? It's all, right? Yeah, it's all. We all fall short. We just need to understand that. None of us are perfect. None of us get it right all the time. That puts us all in the same bunch, right? That we all make mistakes and we all fall short. The one thing that some of us may have that some of us don't in the room is that we've confessed Christ as our Savior. And so we've received forgiveness of our sin and we've restored an eternal relationship with God. We've made that decision and made it very clear. But for some of us, we haven't made that decision before. And so we need to understand that though we continue to sin and we continue to ask forgiveness, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you've never received the freedom from the debt of your sin. And you've never received the relationship that he wants to have with you for eternity. So we need to make sure that you've asked him and sought out his pardon for your sin. Some of us today maybe have asked that part. We've asked him for forgiveness and we've received that and we're at a good place with that. But the problem for us is the second half, where it says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I love the way that this puts it in the past tense, that we have already forgiven. You know why it's put that way? Because that's what's expected of us, to be forgivers. To be able to forgive people of their transgressions and their mistakes against us, just like God, we expect God to forgive us our mistakes. That he forgives our debts just like we should be forgiving other people's debts against us. We need to understand that forgiveness is an important part of that. To 1 John 1:9, we talked about last week, says this, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. God says in His Word there that He'll forgive us if we'll simply confess. And you know, part of that confession, though, is confessing that the way we're living life is contrary to how God wants us to live. And so there's this piece to that that's called repentance. So we confess our sin, we confess that it's wrong, and that means we need to turn away from it. And we need to get ourselves out of that lifestyle, out of that situation, away from whatever it is that we're confessing. And so we need to be able to do that, and understanding that we're forgiven the way that we should be able to forgive others. Seek out God's pardon for our sins. Be able to understand that He wants to do that for you, and you need to be willing to do that for other people. We need to do this thing called confession. You don't have to come to me. You don't need anybody else to do it. You can do it right where you're at, and you can have that conversation with Him and know that when you confess, you're forgiven. So we need to seek out His presence. We need to seek out His pardon. We need to seek out His provision. We need to seek those things out. And then the fifth thing that we need to do is that we need to seek out God's power to overcome temptation. This is a big one for us. We need to seek out His power to overcome temptation. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I love how the NLT translation puts it. It says, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." Don't let us yield to it. What does that mean? That means that there's going to be temptation, y'all. We're going to face stuff in our lives all the time. It's going to be there. We just need to understand that temptation is going to come. There's going to be things that are going to come at us that are going to attempt to knock us off where God wants us to be. The NLT lays it out there, don't let us yield to it. Which means when it comes, don't let us fall for that stuff. The Bible's very clear that there is a devil, that there is Satan, who moves about. The Bible describes him as a lion looking for someone to devour. Now think about that picture for a second. Here's this being that moves about looking to devour those that he can get to bite on the temptations that he lays out there. When I think of that word devour, I think of me and a big juicy T-bone with a sweet baked potato and a salad with ranch dressing. If you put a T-bone in front of me with a sweet baked potato and a salad with ranch dressing, I'm going to devour it. It's going to be gone. I'm going to be like chewing on the bone, y'all. It's going to be gone. I think about Satan lurking about, just like me looking at that T-bone, looking at me, hoping that I'll bite on the stuff that he puts in front of me. Because what he wants to do is to eat me alive. And he wants to do that for you too. I know that sounds real, you know, what we've come to believe, that Satan is some little comic book character in the little red suit with a pointy tail and a nice little funny pitchfork. That's what we've come to. So we've dumbed him down to something very simple like that, and we've dumbed him down to a character rather than a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to be real about who Satan is, because he's real about who you are. He knows that God wants a relationship with you, and he'll do everything he can to break that relationship. And so we need to understand that we have to seek God's power to overcome that. Don't let us yield to temptation, God, but rescue us. Give us a way out. Be the one that throws us the little noodle, right? Or the little round, you know, rescue thing. You'll help us, pull us away from the temptations that are going to come. Be the one that helps us be better than what Satan would want us to be. Some of you are going to walk out of here today and you're going to face temptation. You might not even make it out of the building before Satan will throw something at you. You might get home and you turn on the TV and there's something on there that you just know you don't need to watch. You may find a single person that you'll find yourself, you know, there alone with the person that you're dating, and you'll find yourself in a situation where you have to decide, do I move forward with what I really want to do, or do I understand that God wants something better for me, and so I need to get myself out of this situation? See, sometimes we put ourselves places and then just pray that God will help, you know, that he'll just take care of it. The reality is sometimes we got to get up under his power and his prompting and just get the heck out of Dodge. The reality is we're going to face things. You know, it may be tomorrow you're going to get that credit card deal in the mail, and you're just going to want to sign that line and get that nice credit card that you know you can't afford, right? As Dave Ramsey says, you need to yell, cheetah, because that cheetah is coming after you and is going to eat you alive. You know, you need to run from stuff like that. You need to not think just because you're struggling financially that God has sent you a credit card. He doesn't do it, all right? That's not the answer. He'll provide another way. You may have to go with, you know, beans and rice, but he'll provide a way. Don't let Satan tempt you and pull you away from what God truly wants for you. Here's this morning one of the most powerful scriptures that you need to understand. One, the model prayer that Jesus has given us is incredible. But listen to the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation, no, right? No means no, right? Greek, whatever. It's no. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You are not on an island. You are not facing something that somebody else hasn't faced. You're not even facing something that probably, you know, that nobody else in this room is facing. You're not alone. There is things out there that we're all struggling with, and you're not being tempted by anything that's not uncommon. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You need to circle, highlight, whatever you got to do, those words, God is faithful. Because he is. He is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, let me make sure that you understand that. By what Jesus taught us to pray, that what we can bear is whatever is what we can do through the power of God to overcome temptation. Listen, you got the most powerful being. You've got access to God himself to be able to overcome the things that you're facing. You just have to make a choice to accept it and allow it to be what pulls you out. The access is there, that he won't let you be tempted by beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He will provide a way out. He will provide a way out if we'll simply take it. Any Pac-Man fans in here? Yeah, is that one calling? You know what they say about, never mind, I'm not going to. Anyway, any Pac-Man fans, let me just continue on. Talk about that when we get home. I'm just kidding, baby. I'm just messing with you. Don't let it ring again, though, because I'm coming to answer it. All right, so I will answer yours. All right, so Pac-Man. So Pac-Man is one of these cool games. Anybody not ever played Pac-Man? Seriously, if you've not played Pac-Man, raise your hand. Oh, Sally, bless your heart. We need to get you out. You've never played Pac-Man either? Oh, wow. We're gonna have some fun with y'all. We're going to the arcade later. All right, so but in Pac-Man, it's this little wah-wah-wah-wah-wah thing, right, that goes across, and you eat all these dots, and you go all over the place, and while you're doing it, there's like four ghosts that are chasing you, and if they catch you, you're dead, all right? So you're wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah all over. You know, first you go, you know, all that to get started, but then you go wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. And Pac-Man is going across, and you're moving it around, and you got a little joystick, and you're moving him all over the place. And you get to the side, and all the ghosts are converging on you. And on the left side and on the right side, there are these two little places that you can escape to. And if you go through those little things, you magically disappear from this side, and you pop out on this side. All right? So when you're about to get eaten by the ghost, the game provides you with what? A way out, right? An escape route. And so I know when I used to play Pac-Man, though, I would get there and I would go through the little thing, and I'd pop out on the other side, and then all the ghosts, you know, would start, you know, kind of come around. And so what I would do is I would bounce in, I would bounce out, and I'd bounce in, and I'd bounce out. And so what I was doing, I was drawing them to me. And so then when I get them over there, then I would pop out on the other side. And so then I would, like, you know, keep on going all over and eat all the dots and get to the little things so I could eat them all and all that fun stuff, right? So anyway, now you're all going to want to go play Pac-Man. And you're all thinking about how your high score right now. So that's cool, but come back. So what happens is God has provided us, just like Pac-Man, a way out. He has provided us a place that when temptation begins to overwhelm us, that we can get out from under it. And we need to be able to take those ways out. Now, here's what we do. I've done it too. I play life, and I play with temptation the same way I play Pac-Man, right? You know, I get the way out, and I'm all good, and I could just be free to go. But what do? I just come back just a little bit more. Come on. You know, come on. You know, I try to get a little bit closer to it. What we got to do is we got to take that way out and stay out, knowing that God has provided it, and He wants us to be able to overcome those temptations. He's the power, and we need to seek that out to overcome temptation. If you're being tempted, let me just tell you that God has provided the way out, and it's in His power that you can do it. Seek out His power. Seek out His provision. Seek out His priorities. Seek out His presence so that you can have the relationship with Him that He wants to have with you. God wants that with every single person in this room, regardless of where you are, regardless of how many times you've fallen and you've been devoured, no matter how many times you've done that, He wants to have that relationship with you today. So here's what I want us to do. I want everybody to participate. We're going to put the Lord's Prayer back on the screen. And I want us to read it together. And this time as you read the Lord's Prayer, I want you to think about what it's like to want His presence, to acknowledge Him with a worshipful heart, to look out and seek out His provisions in your life. I want you to seek out His priorities and make them most important in your life. Seek out His pardon for sin in your life. And I want you to seek out His power to overcome the things that would come your way. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our trust, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's why I have to read it, because I want to quote it in the ways that I've learned it. But the reality is, think about what you have access to and how now that you can pray and seek out the things that God wants for you so that you can have the relationship with Him He's wanted all along. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Here's what I want to do. I want to read the prayer to you in a little different way. And we're going to pray this out, but I want you to hear it different this time. I want you to hear it for what it really is for every single one of us, what it can be for all of us that have this relationship with Him. Here's how we can pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, the one who loves us, the one who has been there from the very beginning, who put everything in its place, I want to lift up Your name. God, I want You to know how important You are in my life, that I want to set You above everything else and put You in the place that You deserve to be. God, I want Your will to be done in my life. God, I want my life to be exactly what You put me to be. God, I want my life to represent who You are. I want You to do whatever it is in my life that it is that You have known all along You wanted to do. God, I want my life to represent here on earth the incredible opportunity that we have to spend forever with you in heaven. God, I want to ask you today to give me what I need to do that. God, I want today for you to provide me with what it is that I need to be the most like you. God, I want to ask you to give me what I need, what I truly need. And God, I want you to change all the other things and help me to see them as true wants and not needs. God, I want to ask you to forgive me where I've fallen short. God, where I've not met the standard, where I've intentionally gone against you and knowing that you wanted one thing and I've done another. God, I want to ask you to forgive my sin. And God, today, not only do I ask you to forgive my sin, but I ask you to help me to turn and go the other way, to live my life without that in it, because I know that that hinders me from being all you want me to be. God, I ask today that you would truly forgive my sin. And God, I pray today that you would help me to forgive those who've hurt me. God, help me to be a forgiver. God, help me to understand that it's not them, it's not even me, but it's the sin of their life that causes them to hurt me. And so, God, may you forgive me of my sin, and may I forgive them of theirs. God, I ask you to keep me away from the stuff that doesn't belong in my life. God, whether that's a person, God, whether that's a place, whether that's a choice that I make, whether it's a lifestyle I've chosen, God, whether it's just something that I know brings me away from you, God, keep me from that. Don't let me give in those situations. God, keep Satan out of my life. Help save me from the things that he would bring against me. God, because your kingdom and your power and your glory, I want to last forever. God, not only do I want it, but I know that it is so. Because you are God, and I'm not. God, today I want to acknowledge where we are. God, for some in the room today, there's a decision that needs to be made. Is there that we continue on living the life, the way that we've been living? Or God, is it that we choose to live the life that you want for us? God, for some in the room today, that means they're going to have to make a decision to accept your forgiveness and accept salvation for the first time today, to acknowledge you, that you truly did send your son Jesus to die, that you truly allowed him to pay the price on that cross, that you allowed him to be buried, but God, on the third day, that you raised him from the dead, with all the power and all the love that heaven can afford. God, that you raised him up, and because the price is paid and because he's been resurrected from the dead, that God, that they understand today they can be forgiven and set free and be put in a relationship with you for all eternity. God, for some in the room, that means that we're going to have to recognize we've made that decision in the past, and that today we have to make new choices. We've allowed Satan to bring things into our lives that just don't belong. And we're going to have to cut ties with those things and acknowledge them for what they are. So God, I pray today that they would pray, that people would pray for that power to be able to do just that. God, for those in the room that need to acknowledge the fact that they've just not lived where you want them to be, that they've lived with themselves as the priority and not you, God, I ask that you would empower them today to just ask forgiveness of that and to put you back where you belong. God, for this church, I pray in these moments that we would come together acknowledging you as the one who spins it all in motion, and that God, everything that we do should revolve around you and what you want for us. And God, may you forgive us where we don't do that. God, today I pray that you move clearly and plainly in the lives of people so that we make decisions today to be better when we leave here than when we came in. God, I pray as the band plays this next song that you would move in our hearts and our lives, and we would make those decisions, whether it's public by coming forward and just kneeling and praying and acknowledging you, or if it's done in our seats, God, whatever needs to happen. May it be done here in this place this morning with all the power and freedom that you provide. And God, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.